Continuity is such an important part of our practice, that continuity is where the concentration, the moment-to-moment knowing, allows the mind to really start to see what's happening in the mind. And that's when wisdom is developed. That's how wisdom is developed. And so the intention towards cultivating this continuity supports us in the practice. And I mentioned a few things in the earlier part of the reflection, you know, just this gentle persistence, the ways in which we remind ourselves to be aware, curiosity. In particular, curiosity about how mindfulness slips out, where awareness gets lost. And just a little bit more reflection about that particular piece. So we've talked earlier in the week about how the shift of attention from one experience to another is often a place where the mindfulness will go out. The mind picks up on some new object and hasn't really noticed that it has shifted to a new experience. It's almost like our agenda is around attending to a certain kind of experience, and when the attention shifts to something that's outside of that agenda, our conscious mind is unaware of that shift. And that is a prime place where we start thinking about that new thing, and the mind just goes, it just starts to wander, it goes out. And so that's something that kind of getting familiar with the shift of attention is one way that we can kind of be curious about where does mindfulness begin to shift and kind of avert or allow the attention to shift and have the mindfulness follow that shift. So you might be attending to body sensation. You know, the body sensation is what's obvious, and through that attending to body sensation, a subtle agenda to be with body sensation is created. And so when the attention, when there's a sound perhaps outside, the attention goes to the sound, and we may miss that because we have this kind of subtle agenda to stay with the body. This is just one example. There's different ways this can happen. There's another kind of way that the attention shifts, and that example is kind of like a very specific, we're attending to specific sensations in the body, and then a kind of a specific experience happens outside, and the attention's drawn to that. There's another kind of qualitative shift of attention that can happen that might be a little harder to notice. The reason I thought of speaking of this is I noticed this in my sitting. There was an attention to the physicality of the body for a little while, the kind of, you know, the various sensations in the body. And then the mind shifted into a kind of a very expansive state in the mind, a kind of a release and a feeling of spaciousness and openness and resting. It's a very different kind of object. It's not like a body sensation. It's not precise or specific. It's, you know, often our sensations that we attend to in our physicality, that kind of size and shape, and we have a perception of them having a size and shape. And when there's a sound outside, it also can be quite specific. It it arises, there's a moment of its arising, and then it lasts a little while, and there's a moment of its passing, and it's kind of got a, it's almost like we can draw a circle around it. With something like, different states of mind, there's a qualitative difference of, like, just a very diffuse quality in the mind, that shift of attention that I experienced in the meditation to that spaciousness, the experience is very diffuse. It's not precise or specific. It's not something I can land on and say, oh, that's where that is. It's hard to draw a circle around that. Hard to say that's what that is. But there is a clear sense of that as an experience. And so our attention, there can be different kinds of objects. Very clear, precise objects. And these are the kinds of objects that are often the easiest to attend to. They're the ones that I think our culture has preferenced, that we can notice specific details of the world and make connections between objects and the world and things like that. There's less of a preferencing. We don't even talk so much about these states of expansiveness or diffuseness. And these diffuse states can be both wholesome and unwholesome. They can be neutral. They can be mental, and then they can also sometimes have physical component to them. An example, and one thing to just point to, even in various fields of experience in our sense bases, the attention can have this different quality. So an example, I often use this example. In the field of sight, for example, on a moonless night, you might go out and be curious about looking up at the stars. It's a clear night and there's not a lot of light pollution. You can look at the stars, and if it's a really clear night, it's so clear, it's like, just sparkling. And you can see individual stars and maybe see planets and maybe orient to collections of stars. Oh, there's Orion, or there's the Pleiades or something. So there's kind of like we can orient to specific experience, specific things in the sky. And again, draw a circle around them. We can identify them as a kind of like precise experience. And then there's also the Milky Way, which is more vast and diffuse. You don't really get the appreciation of the Milky Way by honing into a little square inch of looking at it. It's much more of an expansive experience to have the seeing of the Milky Way be more step back and not focus on any aspect of it. So that's a kind of a way in which the sense base of seeing can take in a diffuse experience. And then even, almost maybe more stepped back would be kind of taking in the vastness of the depth of the sky itself, that velvety blackness of the sky. And so there are ways that our awareness can take in precise experience and diffuse experience. And what I'd say is that often in our meditation, there's a lot of diffuse experiences in our meditation. Sloth and torpor is a diffuse experience. Sleepiness, spaciness are diffuse experiences. Calm, concentration, spaciousness, awareness itself can be experienced as a kind of non-specific experience. It's not something precise that we can point to, but there can be a clarity of knowing this diffuseness. And this shift from specific to diffuse in the meditation at least in my practice, that shift from specific to diffuse was one of the ways in which the mindfulness would just kind of go out into la-la land. The mind having the kind of more familiarity with being with specific experience would miss the shift to the diffuse. And then just kind of get, and sometimes they're pleasant, sometimes those experiences are pleasant, and it's kind of like the mind shifting to the diffuse and the pleasantness of that. I mean, it might not be pleasant, there are some that are not pleasant, but you know, the shift to that pleasantness, sometimes the mind can get hooked to that and then just lose awareness. But again, it's not necessary that we lose awareness there. It's just that the mind is not so familiar with hovering with diffuseness, perhaps, or with particular, you know, flavors of diffuseness, ones that we're not familiar with. So the opening to the non-familiar, the opening to what's unfamiliar, is one of the, you know, and kind of being willing to not always be, you know, shifting from one thing that's familiar to the next, but being willing when the attention shifts to not know exactly what is happening. It's like, oh, this is new. This is, and then noticing the attitude when that happens. The first few times I noticed this kind of shift, it's like when the mind was available to see, you know, the kind of slip or shift from precise experience into vast diffuseness, it was kind of a shock. It's like the attitude was like, whoa, what's that? And then that shifted things because the you know, there was a kind of a startle in the mind that it shifted to something it had never seen before. And so that was an attitude. So just noticing that. And it's like I couldn't go back at that point. It's like, okay, well, startle is happening. That's what's happening now. That's a little more precise. That's a little more familiar. And just having, you know, the sense of curiosity of watching these things unfold. So I had some other thoughts of what to offer around this noticing where we lose awareness, in particular more in daily life. You know, mostly what I ended up talking about this morning was around the meditation. But I'll bring that that reflection about noticing where we lose awareness in our daily lives into the afternoon reflection. So I think that's an important piece, particularly in this week, to kind of reflect on, you know, what are the areas, and maybe just I'll just drop a tiny bit in since there's still 2 minutes left. You know, you might just be curious about if there are what we might call rabbit holes of mindfulness lost through your day. You know, just like whole areas of, you know, when you go into the kitchen or something, or when you're having a conversation with a partner, or when you're in your work environment, those of you who are doing work. And then, you know, some not trying to, you know, what I like to encourage here is not trying to, like, hold on to the mindfulness. But when you identify these, like, rabbit holes where mindfulness just gets lost, then as you're heading into those activities or areas or things that you're doing, maybe just a sense of curiosity. How does it happen that mindfulness gets lost there? Kind of see if you can notice what the attention kind of connects to, that it gets more interested in than being aware. And then again, the sense or the kind of curiosity, it's like it doesn't have to lose awareness there. And so maybe a sense of kind of curiosity about what is sticky there. And as you see the stickiness, maybe there can be a sense of can I be with this, with whatever this is that the mind has gotten interested in or gotten pulled to. So first, I think it's kind of useful to begin to identify the areas of the day or the activities that maybe are those rabbit holes where we lose mindfulness, and then start to be curious about what happens as you head towards them. So it's time to stop and